is, I'm going to give the overview. Kezia is going to talk about the process, and then Mark, we're going to pass out the curriculum tonight and have people take a look at it, so that you'll know it, exactly what we're talking about. And then what we'd like to do is to take about 15 or 20 minutes for questions and answers. And we already received some questions in advance, and we want to respond to some of those questions as well. Okay. So, and I'll try to make it quick. This thing could go on for days, because this is like my life. I live and you know, eat, sleep, and drink this stuff. But when I came to West a year ago, we were in year two of a three-year, $500,000 federal grant process, and it's the Smaller Learning Communities Grant initiative that was funded by the United States Department of Education. And when I came, or actually even before I came, I had to read the grant proposal and look at the philosophy about smaller learning communities and really make a decision. And that decision was if I believed in the philosophy that was set forth by the Smaller Learning Communities initiative. This is a school reform process, a change process. And before I took the job, I felt that I had to be in line with this philosophy if I was going to implement this $500,000 federal grant and to move West in the direction that this grant had kind of outlined. Because the worst thing in the world to do is to have a principal come on and not be in line with a $500,000 grant that's coming from the United States Department of Education. That would be the quickest way for me to lose my job, to botch a $500,000 grant from the federal government. So, having said that, after reading the grant and taking a close look at the philosophy of and the underlying principles of the grant, I firmly believed in what the grant stood for and what was outlined in that Smaller Learning Communities grant. And some of the primary goals and objectives in that grant are as follows. To improve student achievement, improve all student achievement, and at the same time close the achievement gap. And I'm just going to say that right now, from my understanding, that has not been done yet anywhere in the country. Increase academic achievement while closing the minority student achievement gap. But that's what this grant sets out to do, and I believe in that. So again, that's one of the underlying principles. It also talked about things like developing resource time and creating opportunities for student and staff relationships, which is one of the cornerstones for the Madison Metropolitan School District. Relationships is an important part of the framework that we talk about in our administrative team meetings. It also talked about leadership opportunities for students and support for students who are struggling with academic achievement. The grant also talked about having common space for students so that they would feel a sense of commitment and ownership to the school. And it also talked about creating opportunities for teacher collaboration around student achievement, curriculum, and instruction, as well as understanding or looking more closely at student behavior and trying to support students who are falling through the cracks. I'll take a step back and talk a little bit about the teacher collaboration. The initiative around the teacher collaboration focused on 9th and 10th grade core curriculums, or developing a 9th and 10th grade core, where it would be groups of teachers that would come together in collaborative teams to address needs of students, look at curriculum and instructional strategies. When I came last year, the 9th grade core was already in place. And the next step in the development of the grant would be to look at the 10th grade core process. And at the beginning of this year, that's exactly what we did. As department chairs and the instructional leadership at the school, we began looking at how to institute or how to implement a 10th grade core. And when we began to look at 10th grade core, we figured out that it would be impossible to implement 10th grade core with our English programs design. There were just far too many teachers and too many too many teachers and too many courses to put into a core concept. So that's when we really began to look more closely at how we could implement the program. And that made us become more reflective and take a closer look at what our practice is. And I think that's where we really began to look at this 10th grade English, so that we could implement the core, be reflective about our practice, and take a look at what our current practice is, and try to look at ways we could improve on what we were doing.
Okay. I'd just like to say that I know Hartman, and so our job in being here tonight is to be as open and honest with you as we can, and to share with you what the direction that we're going. And I thought it'd be helpful for you to know some of the background and the process that we have undergone in coming to where we are tonight. So I'm just going to outline that briefly, and then Mark Knepper is going to talk about the curriculum that we are working on. In April of 2003, we began to have some meetings with the staff development facilitators from downtown. And we, as a department, were looking at the questions of what are we doing that is excellent and we should continue, and what are we doing that maybe we need to improve and have some growth. So we kind of focused on, after lots of discussion, we focused on three primary areas of focus. One is our writing program, which hasn't changed since the 1970s. And, you know, we're asking ourselves the questions, are we serving the best interests of all students with that writing program? The second one was, how can we better help students who are struggling? And the third was our workload. And that's kind of a long historical story, but the elective system was designed in the 1970s, and at that time, English teachers were given 4 English classes and then either a study hall or a writing lab. Well, that all changed in the 90s, budget cuts, other issues, and currently most of the people in the English department have 5 classes and no study hall. Very few of us have a study hall or a writing lab. So that was another part of our discussion. Then in the 2003-2004 school year, our efforts were focused on Core 9, but we were beginning to have discussions about English 10 because a Core 10, as Mr. Holmes said, was a component of the grant that we were given. Then in January of last school year, we had an entire day retreat for all interested English teachers. And Mr. Holmes was there, and he explained the rationale behind having a Core 10 component. We talked about, because we had explored how can we fit this present elective system into a core, and it really is impossible. So at that time, Mr. Holmes asked us to start working toward the direction of having an English 10. At that meeting, I also outlined what I felt were advantages of having in moving to an English 10, so I'll just share those with you briefly. One is that it offers the opportunity for students and teachers to spend the entire school year together rather than just a semester. And as Mr. Holmes said, that's one of Mr. Rainwater's initiatives in the district, is building relationship. Also, under the elective system, many students are able to, after their ninth grade English year, kind of circumvent the rigor of a literature course, a solid writing course, and take more communications courses. So having a 10th grade English would offer that opportunity for all students to have at least another year of rigor in English. English 10 doesn't isolate writing as we have been doing in FWW and IWW. I know that that's a concern of some parents and some teachers in the English department. We will build in chances to collaborate. That's not there yet, but that's a necessary component of English 10. It also offers us a common culture to springboard from in grades 11 and 12. Because students will have a similar curriculum in English 11, we can build on that, or excuse me, English 10. And as you'll see when Mark explains the curriculum, there's still an element of choice in the 10th grade English curriculum. So at that retreat, English teachers accepted that challenge, and we began to gather ideas, mostly drawing from, we found that most sophomore students take about 85% of them take one of five or six courses. So we started to draw from the best of those courses and to gradually build a curriculum. This hasn't been without controversy. I won't fool anybody. We've had heated discussions. We're a group of opinionated, pretty bright people, and we tend to have arguments. But and this has been good, and I'll go into that. But because the district is going in this direction, and the school is moving in this direction, a core of us came together last summer and put together a curriculum, which Mark is going to address. One of the most valuable things that I think that has come from this work is that, and I want to say that English 10, this is not a new discussion. This is a discussion that we've had since I've been in the department, which is 9 years now. So it's not a new discussion. I feel like the earlier work that we did really dovetailed with putting the curriculum together. And one outcome of this is that we have really had to look at, examine, analyze our work and ask ourselves the question of what is best practice, what works for all students. Another outcome of this is that this has led to bigger questions, greater questions. One of those is that we really need to look at ninth grade and see what we're doing there that works and how we can improve. We need to study differentiation, and we need to start practicing differentiation, and that will be built into the school year and our summer work. We need to examine our honors offerings and ask ourselves the questions, are we being consistent, and how can we be consistent? So all in all, this has been a difficult task. It's not over. It's an ongoing work. But I think what we have to offer is something that will offer both excellence and equity. And as capable professionals, I think that we can execute this and be proud of it. Thank you.
So it's my turn. I'm going to pass up the course outline. I'm going to give it just a minute to get around because there are a lot of different people in different places. While the course outline is coming around, I will say a couple of things before we get into specifics. As we put the course together this summer, one of the things that we most focused on was coming up with a course that would have academic rigor as well as academic integrity, and I think that we succeeded in that. We also wanted, as Kezia mentioned, to have the option of choice. And in this 10th grade course, we have retained an element of choice. We think that that's vital for students. We think it's also vital for teachers. And one of the things we constantly hear from students is that they like our English program because of the choice. In this course, we're building choice into the curriculum. The choice will come as students are freshmen and are selecting their course for their next year. They will have a choice at that time of choosing one of two sequences. The first sequence would be the American Dream Justice sequence, and the other sequence would be the American Dream Identity sequence. As they sign up for that course, they'll do so with the understanding that they will have the same teacher throughout the entire year. And at the semester, there will be this subtle shift from focusing on the American Dream to then focusing on whichever sequence they've signed up for. Does everybody have a copy of the course outline?
No, there's some more. They're making some more.
Okay. Heather's making some more, and she'll get those to you in just a minute. Should I wait or continue?
Continue.
Okay. If you look at the opening paragraph of the course outline, it talks about the writing focus, and there will be intensive writing focus in this course. What we've done in creating this course is we've taken many of the components of our IWW class, Intermediate Writing Workshop, and built them into what we'll do with English 10. Some students have complained about IWW. They They don't like the assignments. They don't like necessarily the tasks that we ask them to do. I think that doing it this way and tying or linking the writing to literature will be something that students will find much more appealing. Much of their writing, not all, but much of their writing will focus on the themes that they're studying in each particular semester. That will give them something concrete to write about and will take away that constant struggle as an IWW teacher that I heard, which was, I don't know what to write about. Well, now they're going to have something as a starting point. So that's an important part of the course. If you look at the first semester, all 10th graders will be studying what we have identified as the American Dream. There will be a lit sequence and also a writing sequence to that. I'll talk first about the lit sequence. We're going to introduce the American Dream through some essays by Ben Franklin, The Story of Ragged Dick by Horatio Alger. Then we'll look at slave narratives with excerpts from Frederick Douglass and Harriet Jacobs. We'll also look at immigration, because that's been such a key component to the development of the American Dream. I was talking to a student this morning as she's working on her college essay, and she wasn't sure what to write about. I said, well, you're from Nepal. She said, yeah. I said, tell me what school was like there. And she started to tell me about how in Nepal they were so advanced in math. I said, why? She said, because we were beaten if we didn't get the problems right. I said, well, now you've got your college essay. And she kind of looked at me and she said, really? I said, yeah, you're going to compare that to what happens here, because I don't think you're holding your hand out here to get slapped. The American experience in immigration is vital to understanding how we as a country have developed. It's vital to understanding how literature has moved forward, too. So we're going to look at that primarily through multicultural short stories. There will be different options that teachers will have. We'll also have another text, Interpreter of Maladies by Lahiri, which is a collection of short stories. There will also be a segment of the course called The Corruption of the American Dream, and in that segment, students will read There Are No Children Here by Alex Kotlowitz. And finally, teachers will have other options if they want to teach other books. We've given them some choice. If you look at the titles at the bottom of the page, you can see what kind of titles you're looking at. That will be the lit sequence. There will also be writing throughout the semester. It won't be concentrated like IWW, but it will be continuous throughout the semester. We'll start with descriptive narratives and exemplification. We will also, early in the semester, do persuasive writing. Persuasive writing is a really important component of the sophomore testing. Students taking that test tomorrow have to write a persuasive essay. So we're going to do that dirty old nasty thing and teach the test just a little bit. But we think that will help students to do well on the sophomore test. We're also going to teach students how to write about literature. We will give them opportunities to write comparison and contrast essays. And a big component of the course, if you look on the next page, is that each student will be responsible for a 15-minute class presentation where they'll examine some thematic element that will tie into their study. It will also help them to bring everything they've looked at throughout the semester together. That's a serious and important part of the course offering for the American Dream. Once we get to the semester break, then we get into the options. One is identity, one is justice. There are some similarities between the two courses, but it doesn't necessarily have to happen lockstep. The one thing that does have to happen in the same sequence is at the beginning of the second semester, students in both courses will read a play by Shakespeare. We've talked about Shakespeare and realized that many students only read Romeo and Juliet, and we've decided that they need to read more. If they don't take English Lit or they don't take our Shakespeare course, they get one play by Shakespeare. So we've talked about trying to come up with more Shakespeare. What we've come up with, at least for the start, is the play Othello, which ties into both thematic sequences, identity and justice. What I'm really excited about is we're going to have a Shakespearean festival. Somewhere in mid to late February, we're going to come together. Students are going to have rehearsed scenes. And we're going to produce and perform those scenes for students, for parents, for the media. And I think it will be something that will be really fun, and it's also something that can really grow. Students also in both courses will have the opportunity to learn how to write either definition essays or classification essays, and everybody will write a research paper. We believe that's a skill that they need to develop, and in teaching the research paper, we'll identify how to gather information, how to compile it, how to write it, how to cite accurately, and that will be something that can happen at any point during the course. We say that it happens at the end of the quarter, but it can happen at any point. In the identity course, as in the justice course, there will be three selections, and we say that teachers should teach two. They have the option of which two they want to teach. It might be something they open up to the students and say, what books would you like to read? And they might negotiate that as a class. We don't know how that's going to work, what books will be taught. But the options in the identity course are Catcher in the Rye by Salinger, Your Eyes Were Watching God by Hurston, Black Boy by Richard Wright. Other texts they might teach are the autobiography of Malcolm X, Fahrenheit 451, Caucasia, Counting Coup, or The Miracle Worker. I'm going to take you back and forth a little bit. If you look at the justice course, the text that they would look at as texts that two of three they would read would either be In Cold Blood by Capote, Lord of the Flies by Golding, or Ceremony by Sokol. And then there are some other choices, other titles that teachers can teach in relation to justice. We also will teach argumentation, which is different from persuasive writing. We're going to teach more formal argumentation. It's something that we think is an important part of learning how to write well. Students will have opportunity to write creatively, either short stories or fiction. And we also, as English teachers, will teach some grammar. Waiting for the applause. We hear all the time that we should teach more grammar. We do teach some grammar in ninth grade. We're going to continue and move forward with what we teach in ninth grade to 10th grade. There will be, you can see there, the kinds of things that we'll be looking at. If you turn to the back of the handout, this is a component of the course that I think we as people who help shape this look at as something that is really quite innovative. As Ed and Kezia said, one of the goals from the grant was to address the academic needs of all students, and we're looking at different ways of trying to do that. We're looking at creating an honors program and a skills enrichment advisory. All students can be participating in either if they choose to. There will be an honors designation that students have the option of completing, and if you look at this, they will sign a contract with parents showing that they understand what their obligations are to get that honors designation. They can take the course for honors, meaning that they will do some extra work. Taking the course for honors does not mean that the students will get an A. It means that they will get an honors designation or label on their transcript. And what we've looked at is taking this work that the students are going to do, which is, I'm talking about honors first, is something that won't just be extra work. It will be something where they have an opportunity to work with a teacher who will give them more instruction, their analysis, writing an essay relating to themes of the course. And this more focused instruction will be something that will push the students so that they push themselves to grow and do more sophisticated kinds of work. In the first quarter, students will read The Jungle by Upton Sinclair, and at the end of the quarter, they will take a test. The grade on the test will be significant and will determine their honors label, honors designation. 2 days a week during our Lunch and Learn program, students will have the opportunity to meet with the honors coordinator for instruction of the novel. We think that will be something that students will enjoy. We think that will be something that students also will benefit from. Second quarter, students will write an essay focusing on the American dream and relating it to thematic elements. They will work with the coordinator for help on shaping that essay, and again, the coordinator will grade the essay. The third quarter, students will read another play by Shakespeare, so they continue to get more exposure to Shakespeare. And in the fourth quarter, they'll write another essay relating to the theme of their selected course, either identity or justice. The Honors and Skills Enrichment Coordinator will also work with students who seek help because they want to learn how to write better, they want to learn how to interpret literature better. Perhaps they're having problems with grammar. 2 days a week during the lunch, that teacher will work with those students. The final day of the week, the teacher will have time for administration or grading papers, and most likely continued meetings with students as well. This course, as I said, I think is something that we don't know how it's going to go. But with student engagement and teacher involvement, I think it can be very successful.
And I wanted to... thanks, Mark.
I'm done.
Thank you. I wanted to start with just some general questions that I know that will be of interest to all of you. One of them is the question of electives, and will sophomores be able to take electives in addition to English 10? And the answer to that is yes, and all the electives will be available to sophomores. And then that leads to the question of, you know, given that we're going to have an English 10, are we going to have to work with the other electives to either decrease or increase? Yes, we will. The five courses that will no longer be offered are the ones that we drew upon in order to create English 10, and those are Modern Lit, Writers in Their Times, IWW, FWW, and Justice. And those courses still exist, but in English 10. The first year that we do this, we're not going to have a whole lot of information or data on how many electives we can retain. My guess at this point, we're working on this right now because the course of study booklet is printed in December and your students choose courses in February. So and the timing is imminent. But what I'm thinking is that for starting, we will probably that first year eliminate those courses and offer the other courses that we currently offer. One question was, let's see, could we keep the current system in place and add the new curriculum, the new English 10 curriculum? That would be impossible. First of all, it doesn't fit into the core, and secondly, it would be kind of a nightmare in terms of teacher load, because in addition to all the electives we have now, we'd have an English 10, and we couldn't do that. Okay, I think I'll stop there and just open it up to questions. Yeah.
Are you still offering LUG and AWW?
Yes. And the other thing is that junior and senior year, the way that the system that we're working in right now, we're trying to support freshmen and sophomores, and then junior and senior year, they will have electives and they will have, you know, much more independence. And we will not ever change the elective system in 11th and 12th grade. Well, I say that. I'm going to retire soon.
On how English 10 would compare to, say, Modern Lit and IWW in terms of the scope and the rigor of the curriculum?
Could you repeat it?
Well, I'm just trying to understand. I mean, I understand the curriculum is drawn from all five of these courses, mm-hmm. but... You know, I think, as I understand it, you know, a reasonable course of study would be to take Modern Lit and IWW currently. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what I'm trying to understand is how the level of rigor of the proposed curriculum would be different from what's in the current curriculum.
Well, one part of that I will answer is that we've drawn heavily from the course Writers in Their Times, which is a fairly rigorous course. More rigorous than Pop Lit or Modern Lit. So that first semester of the American Dream, both semesters have a lot of rigor, but we've chosen that one because the titles are wonderful, and they're books that we think that students should read. So does that kind of answer? Not really.
Well, not really. I mean, partly I don't really know the details of the current curriculum very well.
Well, one thing in the current curriculum is that in the elective system, Students are required to take one writing course their sophomore, junior, and senior year. They might not select Pop Lit or Modern Lit. They could select out of that, so that they might not even have that literature. You can choose communicative arts, theater, those kinds of courses, and kind of screw around that if you want to.
Yeah, no, I'm more worried the other way. I mean, so if my kid is college bound all the way, mm-hmm. Is this going to be a now more diluted curriculum the same?
No, I think it almost has more rigor than what we offer sophomores now.
I think it can be a very challenging course, and I think the writing will be challenging as well, because we're asking them to do the kinds of writing that we ask them to do with IWW, but we're asking them now to link that writing to literary analysis. And we're asking them to elevate their thinking and think on a higher level. Which is not to say that we're looking at this and excluding students who may not be college bound. We're looking at those students as well and trying to tailor instruction to meet the range of students.
Can you clarify for this honors course? Is that a separate course? The core is going to have an honors level course, or they're in a regular core course, and then they're having to do over and above some other outside portions for the honors?
Yeah, they would be in a core 10th grade class, and then the honors segment would be 2 days a week outside of class.
And so that's how much additional time for them? So that's... How many days is, like, the core course is something they meet every day, five days a week, mm-hmm. and so then they have two extra days that they would need to commit to mm-hmm. get an honors designation.
And those are, like, half of the lunch hour? Or
25 minutes.
More homework. I'm sorry?
It's that activity period of lunch hour?
Yes.
And what days of the week would that be?
Oh, we don't know yet.
Because that's going to interfere with a lot of the lunch. The kids, actually, that's one of the things I hear from my son, who's in ninth grade now, is he really enjoys this opportunity to participate in clubs, and for him to do an honors designation, that would preclude his participation in some of these clubs that he really enjoys.
Yeah, it would be a choice that they would have to make. I mean, we look at the lunch period as lunch and learn, and it would just be a choice that a student would have to make.
Is this going to be for other honors courses, too, that they're going to be expected to do lunchtime activities?
No.
So that for science honors, for math honors?
No, no. Well, I don't know. I can't speak to science and math. In our lectures...
I'm trying to understand how their time is going to be consumed, it seems, by what would typically be in-classroom instruction now extending outside of the classroom.
This is new. This is the first shot at it. And this is the best we've been able to come up with so far. It's not necessarily the best way or the final way we will address the honors designation, but that's the way we're going to do it right now. I don't. And again, it's a choice. If you choose not to do the honors, then you don't have to give up the choice of the other things. But that's what I think that's a big part of the this whole discussion is having choice. And, that's just another choice. I mean, and that's the great thing about West High School. There's so many options and there's so many choices that are available.
And, like Ed said, this is not cut in stone. It's a work in progress. Yeah.
Why wasn't there a choice of a section that honors English 10?
Why not just teach a concentration of honors with this additional component in the class as opposed to making them push out time?
Yeah. Right. My experience is that kids will come in from a different school and, kids will often be willing to do honors if it means they don't mind having more homework, they don't mind having to work in class, be more challenging, mm-hmm. but when they have to give up lunch, then
participation in other activities.
I mean, it seems like an honors section would address those. They could still, the work could be more demanding. Like last year, my son, to get honors, he chose to have to read additional books, have to do more writing. He was perfectly happy to do that. If you had said you have to give up, lunch and clubs and activities or intramurals, whatever, 2 days a week, there's no way you would have done that.
But one of our goals is to create classes, of heterogeneous classes, So that would be creating.
Well, then why do kids for honors have to give up lunch? I mean,
you're not giving up lunch, though.
Yeah. But you're giving up the opportunity to wait. That's 40% of the time. It's giving up.
But we're not taking away the kids' lunch. It's only half of one 50-minute period.
Half of two.
We're not. I don't want to misrepresent the fact that we're having kids give up lunch.
No, they're giving up lunch.
Yeah. Isn't there a way to do this like once a week or special meetings or something?
We are certainly open to ideas like that.
And again, listen, folks, hold on. This is a draft. We came here so we can get input, and that's what we want. And we want to hear your opinion, and we'll go back. And if we can make some changes to address your concerns and needs, that's what we're going to do.
Right.
Okay.
I could see very nicely doing this curriculum, but having an honors class, and then you're teaching this whole back page within the classroom and giving the assignments, these additional assignments within the classroom.
And maybe that fifth day when the teacher is doing administration, or maybe once a month, or maybe once every 2 weeks. Because I agree, I think most of the kids would be willing to do more work, but if that means you... The whole idea of this, if it's learning communities, part of what learning and interrelating with other students is the opportunity to be in clubs, student council, etc. If, in order to be in an honors class in the humanities, as opposed to in sciences, you have to give up that opportunity, that just doesn't seem to really fit the goals of this program. So if there's a way to reduce the number of classes the kids have to take so that they have more options to participate in extracurricular activities, I think that's something we'd all be very happy about, as opposed to the amount of work, which is a different issue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Yeah, I guess I have a concern, and I understand the issue of homogeneous classrooms and whatnot, but I actually have a child that would benefit tremendously from this because he wouldn't do this on his own. Mm-hmm. But I have another child who's here in the 10th grade now, who had to go up to an 11th grade class to get the kind of rigor, and also not just the rigor, but to get the climate of an English class that she could really begin to discuss literature in. And I think that this is a very delicate topic, and it's a very delicate discussion, but the truth is that for these kids who really love literature, in a way that not everybody does, she's being starved from being in a classroom with other kids who have the same passion for literature. I wouldn't want her in the same class with my son. He would bore her to death. But she wants to get into the material. I've been visiting other places, and I'm hearing that there isn't much AP English. You'll get science, you'll get math, you'll get history, but for a kid that loves literature, it just doesn't seem to be something people are thinking much about. So I just felt like I wanted to say that. It's exciting to me because I think my son would never want to take the writing. He's going to have to. But for a child who loves this material, I think they're getting a little bit of a short end of the stick. In terms of who they... I mean, she wants to sit around a table and discuss the stuff, not be the only one in the room who's interested.
Okay, thank you. Did you have a comment?
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to compliment proposal. One of the things I like is integrating writing with literature. I agree that, you know, one of the things that has been problematic about IWW all these years has been, you know, okay, we're going to learn how to do all these different types of essays and stuff, but it's in a vacuum, and it's nice, and then the kids go the whole semester not reading literature when they take the course. So I think it's nice interdisciplinary and dispersing. However, one of the things I've been thinking about is it would be nice if there could be integrated curricula, especially with social studies. And at West, the students do American history in 9th grade and 11th grade. And yet here you're talking about American literature that's being done in 10th grade instead. And you're also dealing with, in 10th grade in social studies, they do a research paper, go through the process of doing a research paper their third quarter, which is the same time you're talking about doing it here. And so suddenly the students are asking to be doing two research papers in two different courses the same quarter. It seems like it would make more sense if in 9th grade there was an experience with a research paper, whether it's social studies or English, whatever, and then they did it again in 10th grade. And there was a coordination between these two subjects rather than splitting it up.
Or perhaps first semester,
or
10th grade.
Not be the same time. And, but then, there's the getting back to the choice of literature and also the level of the literature. For example, I can give an example. I have a son who's already graduated from here, who, even though he took lots of advanced English courses here, he specifically avoided this set of literature you're talking about, these particular literature courses, because of a disability. So for him, most of the courses, most of the books you're talking about reading in this course would not have been appropriate for him. And I don't know how many kids that affects, but so Shakespeare was fine. There were other courses he took with him, but he would have really struggled with these books because of a disability. And the flexibility he had at West meant he could choose what literature he wanted. He could read take science fiction instead of taking Identity and Justice, which would have been problematic for him.
And let me just say this. I don't think that people will be insensitive for students who have a particular disability to address those needs. And I think that's the whole issue of differentiation and trying to understand how to address students' needs. And I hear you.
Well, I can say, people here say, his disability is autism.
Okay.
Trying to read books about identity or justice, it doesn't mean anything to him. It's the wrong literature for him.
Mm-hmm.
He has advanced literature on other subjects, but not on the content you picked. So he purposely avoided taking justice. He purposely avoided this particular set of literature.
But would the school not then, isn't that where guidance and special programming should come in to help a student individualize his or her course of study, so that if there's a particular individual who doesn't fit the core, hopefully the school is going to accommodate for that student. I don't know if that really happens, but
it does.
It'd be nice if it did.
Yes, it does.
I think that it does.
It does happen. It's another question.
I would have a clarification, I guess. I have three kids here now. One would be challenged by this. One would, it would fit in well, and one would probably seek out more. But I'm understanding correctly, two of my children took LUG as sophomores, and they could still take LUG in addition to this.
Yes.
So that would, in effect, challenge the honors seeking literature or English student, and they could take Bible?
Sure.
They could take
what?
Okay, so Bible.
They could take any of the electives.
What literature courses are left? I think that might help parents that, if a child is taking this as a 10th grade core and takes in addition LUG and perhaps Bible, what's left? Will they run out before they graduate of a truly literature-seeking child?
What will be left is pop lit, multi-culti lit, Bible, dramatic lit. Help me out, English people.
Honor Shakespeare?
Oh, yeah.
Shakespeare,
honor
English
Shakespeare. Shakespeare. The honors sequence. Shakespeare, English, and American lit.
So what? And then
European lit.
I was going to say, is it the European? Mm-hmm. So because it's different. I'm sketchy on who took what when. But
there are enough.
That's what I'm asking, because that's been something that kids who don't want to give up lunch but still want more English can take another credit in English instead, and that's a good way to be challenged as a sophomore as well.
And we still have the Com Arts classes. We have AWW as well as creative writing.
Thank you.
Okay. How possible is it that an English 10 honors section would be offered? I know that this is not final form, it's not cut into stone, and I think a number of parents here are concerned that a big danger isn't that kids are going to miss part of their lunch and activities, but that kids are going to be, some kids will be in a class where they feel like they're just sort of plodding through sand, where they're just not able to really move at a pace in a climate where they really feel excited and they really feel a connection with what they're studying. When I looked at the first 200 pages of this, I think it's great. I like that curriculum. I think that would be really exciting. And then when I got to the last page and I saw how an honors interest is going to be fulfilled, my heart just kind of sank a bit. Because to take a kid who really wants to run with this stuff and be with kids where they'll sit around the table and get excited talking about Othello, where those kids can't do that, and you tell them, well, it's okay because you're going to get to spend a couple lunch periods doing some extra work, some of these kids might just turn off and you'll lose that spark and that interest. And I'm hopeful that there will be a serious consideration of possibly having an option of an English 10 honors course, one section, maybe more, because I know at this school, and I haven't had any kids here yet, I know that there is a real interest, at, even at the freshman level, for kids to pursue hard courses. I guess there's an advanced biology, some type of advanced science course where there's one section and you've got maybe 30 some slots available and you've got many, many more kids trying to get in. Mm-hmm. And when I see freshmen, you know, hungering for challenging science, I think there's an interest for an English 10 honors course as well.
And there's concern, too, about this emphasis in the end here, well, they're continuing to study grammar and such, and that's absolutely important that kids be able to graduate and write. And, but, you know, for many of the kids that would take an honors designation, you test them on their ACT or SATs, they know this stuff.
Right.
And so they're spending time in class going over stuff that they're going to tune out on because they already know it. And that's another concern by not having it just be sort of a classic honors level section so that all of it could be covered within the classroom itself and not going and outside and then having them do busy work or read a book while they're learning this part of the...
What I didn't really answer your question. What I'm doing is taking down your concerns, and because I can't answer all these questions, you know.
Sure.
But I'm certainly taking down your concerns, and I will certainly share that with the rest of the department.
I think that's a great curriculum, by the way. I like what's
awesome. Let's do two more questions.
Yeah.
We've gone over about 40 minutes, 30, 40 minutes.
And there are people behind me.
I don't have it. I think this looks great. I have a son that's in 11th grade, and he didn't get to take, he took justice in 11th grade, and he said that was the class he learned the most in. And I just, and I missed the beginning, and I apologize, but I wonder what you miss in an honors class that you don't get in a different classroom. Because I think so much of this topic is the whole community here. So I just wonder what you lose that kids miss out on and how we can incorporate that and bring all those kids into one class. So I think this is great.
Thank you.
So should we take one more?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm looking over this, and I'm sorry I'm late too. I'm spending time with the Board of Education, and they always meet at the same time. I'm looking over this, and I don't really see. I don't understand enough about the teaching. What's going on here? Because within a course itself, I'm not clear about what we expect the kids to actually get out of these courses. And I think you mentioned something about unlogical analysis of the literature. And what I found talking to a number of kids, my own included, is they've never learned how to read a book. I mean, the mechanics are there, but reading a book, getting the facts, understanding how to summarize, then doing the analysis, looking at style of the literature, of the phraseology, et cetera, that to me is not an honors type of system that I think every kid can and should be able to address that. Then they can talk in terms of what they think of the system is like and how, what they feel about the literature, but they first have to take it apart and analyze it. And it's not clear to me from talking to my own child or a lot of other kids that they have a clue about how to read a book in that fashion or a piece of literature or even a short story.
Well, that's certainly what we aim at. And we start in ninth grade. I don't know what goes on in middle school, but we start doing lit analysis right away in ninth grade with all the books that we read. And, of course, that's an emphasis, you know, in all of our lit classes. It's one of the most important things that we do. One more.
Have you given any, you know, I'm going to say this is an incredibly complicated thing that we're trying to do here. It's a wonderful thing at the same time that we're trying to do. And basically we're talking about making what you call a heterogeneous classroom. I can see that that's the goal. I have a kid who loves English too. You know, I'm listening and I'm thinking, oh gosh, I hope she continues to love English. She should be able to. All the kids in this classroom should be able to. If the teachers have enough flexibility and enough resources in the classroom. This is an ambitious thing that you're attempting here. So my question is, are there any concessions being made for you guys that will make you better able to combine both kinds of kids, both of whom should be able to love literature?
Yeah, I totally agree.
Any reduction in class size? But let's not penalize kids who love literature, for example. And let's not give up on the other kids. You guys can do it, but are you being given what you need to do it?
Can I speak to that? Yeah. You know, the unfortunate reality is we have limited resources. But this is like I'm committed to, as are the teachers in the English department, committed to make this curriculum work. So I'm going to try to find as many resources as possible to give as much support as possible to Kezia and the English department. You know, we start looking at staff development and training. We start looking at how we can do days away and have clubs so that they understand, what the workload will be. This is new, so this is very rigorous. When I look at this, I have an undergraduate degree in English, and I look at this and I said, this looks more challenging than many of the courses that have been looked at as we combine this curriculum. So they've created more work for themselves. I don't think that they realize that they've really created a lot more work for themselves with the rigor that's in this curriculum. So now I am concerned, as you just mentioned, about how we make sure that the English department and the teachers get what they need in order to implement and successfully take this curriculum to the students. So, you know, that's my job, to figure out what types of supports need to be put in place so that we can successfully carry this out. And I'm going to do everything I can to be sure that this is successful.
I know that you have more questions. This is the end of the quarter, and we have grades to do. I'm going to take the liberty of offering Heather Lott's card, which is up here. And if you have questions, concerns, please take one, and they will get to us. Thank you very much.
That's right.